friends are strangers now. The children are all gone. You're in the desert singing drinking songs. Count your money, it's a blessing. At the end, you say that people change, but I don't think so. You wanna win me over. Stop saying my name. I'm finished with you. Finished with you, yeah.
It's 6 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. and you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Touch Freeform Radio. Streaming live on the internet, WMFO.org. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5FM.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, May the 28th, Memorial Day Sunday, 2017 edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you just have to give me a call. And our phone number, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. Certainly love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Be back. We'll be right back. Okay, just like I promised, I'm back. 11 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. You can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5 FM. Org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. Sunday, May the 28th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. You want to talk sports with me? Our phone number, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Let's go to Major League Baseball. Yesterday in the junior circuit. Let's begin with the junior circuit, American League. Yankees 3 and the A's 2. The Blue Jays 3 and the Rangers 1. Twins 5 and the Rays 3. White Sox 3 and the Tigers zip. That's the first game of a doubleheader. In the second game of a doubleheader, Tigers 4 and the White Sox 3. Red Sox 6 and the Mariners zip. The Royals 5 and Cleveland 2. And the Astros 5 and the A's 2. Over in the senior circuit, the Nationals 3 and the Padres zip. The Phillies 4 and the Reds 3. The Brewers 6 and the Diamondbacks 1. The Dodgers 5 and the Cubbies zip. The Pirates 5 and the Mets 4. That game went 10 innings. The Cardinals 3 and the Rockies zip. The Giants 6 and the Braves 3. And the one interleague game, the Angels 5 and the Marlins 2. Red Sox have had two. I can't remember the last time the Red Sox have had two shutout games in a row. But that's what happened. And I guess yesterday's game was even more unexpected because they brought up Johnson from Pawtucket, who had been pitching fairly well down there, but not setting the league on fire. But after overcoming some anxiety issues a couple of years back and a few other things like getting hit in the head with a line drive, but get hit in the head twice, I think, as I recall. And also, he was the victim of a... No, that's funny. He was the victim of a carjacking down in Florida several years ago. So no wonder the guy has anxiety problems. But anyway, seemed like he got his game together. And he pitched 9 innings. Boy, did the bullpen get a rest yesterday. He pitched 9 innings, gave up 5 hits, no runs, struck out 8, and had a 2.57 ERA. He was up earlier in the season, I believe. And so he's 1-0 on the season. Good for you, Mr. Johnson. And since he doesn't top out at more than 90, 91 miles an hour, and he was throwing a lot of high fastballs and stuff like that, but overall, the Mariners were just not able to connect, and that's okay for us. In that game, Mookie Betts went 0-for-3, scored a run, he got a walk. He's hitting .275 on the season. Dustin Pedroia went 1-for-3, he's hitting .289. Xander Bogaerts went 1-for-4, scored a run. He got an RBI. He's hitting .333. Andrew Benintendi went 1-for-4, scored a run with an RBI. He's hitting .279. Hanley Ramirez went 2-for-3, scored a run. He's hitting .273. Mitch Moreland went 2-for-4, scored a run. Got an RBI. He's hitting .274. Jackie Bradley Jr. went 1-for-3, scored a run. Got 2 RBIs. They also got a walk. He had his 5th home run of the season. He's hitting .211 on the year. Sandy Leone caught, and he went 1-for-4, got an RBI. He's hitting .245. Devin Marrero played third base. He went 0-for-3. He's hitting .176, but he's there for his glove. I guess the question is, can we carry JBJ and Devin Marrero with their low batting averages? But so far, so good. We are in second place, 2 games behind the Yankees. Let me draw on my stats here. And just bear with me a moment. I should have had this out already, but I didn't. But anyway, we'll get it out and we'll see what we have here. As far as statistics are concerned, Hold on. We're getting there. Aha! Here we are. Ta-da! I knew we'd find it. Red Sox are 20. The Yankees are 28-18. The Red Sox are 27-21. We're two games back. The Baltimore Orioles lost. They're dropping. I understand they're having pitching problems, but we're not that concerned about the Orioles, are we? Where's the Orioles score? I don't have the Orioles score here. How about that? Okay, we'll just move on. I don't know what happened to the Orioles score. But anyway, on Friday, Erod pitched an excellent game for the Red Sox. Had help from the bullpen. I think he went six innings. We had three relief pitchers helping us out here. Hembry, Bonds, and Kimbrell. Erod went six innings, gave up five hits, three walks, four Ks, struck out. He's threw 112 pitches, and he's 4-1 on the season. I don't know if I said it in this program, but if Wright had not gotten hurt and Price had not gotten hurt, the Red Sox starting pitching rotation would be awesome. I assume that in that case, Drew Pomeranz, who pitched well, and oh, by the Red Sox won their six in a row, or was it seven in a row? Six in a row, I believe. Seven in a row. Let me check that out again. Here, go back to the statistics. Yeah, they won their six in a row yesterday. They're working on their seventh in a row today. And they have Porcello going. So we got a good shot at seven in a row. Cy Young Award winner last year. So, therefore, the Yankees are still holding on. Like I said, we are two games behind the Yankees in second place. This is our first winning streak of the season. Xander Bogaerts is, I think, number four in the American League in batting with his .333 batting average. And people got all excited because he hit his first home run of the year. Hey, the guy is hitting. He's getting on base. He's driving in runs. He's stealing bases. He's playing excellent shortstop. Get off the back with the home run stuff. If we had someone better, we'd put that someone better in the number three spot. Mookie Betts is having a good year. It's not wrong, anything wrong with hitting 280 or 290, 270 up there. You know, if the question is, are we hitting in the clutch? Are we getting men on base? Farrell's opened up the offense a little bit by letting some of the guys do more running on the bases. But there have been some games I hit and run, drop down the bunt, sacrifice. That's still part of the ball game. Get a guy in scoring position. You don't have to wait for, somebody to bang one out of the park. Well, obviously, it was going to be at a deficit this year with David Ortiz's retirement. Mitch Moreland's been playing excellent first base. He's hitting, like I said, a solid .274. Couldn't ask for much more than that. The question is, like I said, at the bottom of the lineup with JBJ and Devin Marrero back there. And Sandy Leon. Christian Vasquez is having a good year. He's hitting .300. Over .300. And Sandy Leon is not like he was at one point last year. But he's hitting .245 and he's getting some clutch hits and he's doing some excellent catching. You can't ask for much more than that. I think that, overall the pitching has been just as good, if not better, than we anticipated. We haven't got Smith and Thornburg out there yet in the bullpen. So things are looking up. Price is coming back. He's going to make his appearance, I believe, in this series out in Chicago. So, hey, let's keep things percolating. Hopefully, we won't get any more injuries. We'll get some people back. I don't know what's going on with Brock Holt. He's still having the vertigo and the concussion problems, and they're just saying, hey, forget about baseball for a while. Take it easy and relax and see how things go. Get your head together first, and then we'll worry about the rest of the ball game. But, of course, as a ball player, you want to play, you know, and you figure this is your career, and some young guy down there in the minors is just champing at the bit, ready to take your place, or they'll trade for somebody or whatever. So I can understand the pressure that he's under. But hopefully, you know, he'll continue to, you know, improve physically, and we'll be able to get him back, and he'll be our ace guy off the bench playing all over the place. But we don't want him to rush out there and get hurt before he is ready to go. Okay, 422 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. We're on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnie Brown. On this Sunday, May the 28th, Memorial Day Sunday, 2017 edition of the Sounds of of the Brown Perspective on Sports. Sounds of Praise is coming your way next. Get a little ahead of myself. Brown Perspective on Sports time here. We're talking sports. Love to get you involved in some sports conversation. But to do that, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Like I said, just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, certainly love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-9636 on WMFO. Same difference. Be back. We'll be right back.
It can happen to the best of us. Abraham Lincoln and Henry Ford, Walt Disney and Harry Truman, they all had money troubles at one time in their lives. So if one day you have to say these words,
I can no longer make my mortgage payments.
Don't be ashamed. Act. Call the people expecting your payment and let them know there's a problem right away. Because the sooner you let them know, the easier it will be for both of you. You see, nobody wins in a foreclosure. The process is costly and heartbreaking. Companies want to work with you. In fact, they have whole teams of people dedicated solely to keeping borrowers out of foreclosure. So if you're in danger of falling behind in your mortgage, call the company you've been sending your payments to every month and call them today. They can't help if they don't know you need help. To learn more, visit HomeLoanLearningCenter.com. That's HomeLoanLearningCenter.com. Brought to you as a public service by the Mortgage Bankers Association.
And also by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. Okay, getting back to baseball, since this is the baseball season. Like I said, the Red Sox are in second place. They've climbed over Baltimore. Tampa Bay is having a pretty good year, and Toronto seems to be getting their act together. And they had won three in a row. Where's my sky? And they won four in a row. Or is it five? But anyway, they have a win streak. Still in the basement, however. On the Central Division, the Minnesota Twins, they're surprising everybody. They are 27-18 with a three-game lead over Cleveland. And Detroit, Chicago, and Kansas City follow out there. Out west, Houston has they have the best record in Major League Baseball. And they won yesterday also. So they're 34-16 with a 9-game lead over Texas, followed by Los Angeles, Oakland, and Seattle. In the National League, the Washington Nationals got off to a great start, and they have a big lead over Atlanta, surprisingly. I thought Atlanta was in rebuild mode, but maybe they are. But the rest of the National League East is pretty sad. The Mets, who everybody thought was going to have a great year, are struggling. Miami and Philadelphia follow them. In the Central Division, the world champion Chicago Cubbies lost yesterday. They are 25-23. Still in first place, however, over Milwaukee. Actually, might be close to a tie. I think Milwaukee is 26-23. Followed by St. Louis, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh. Out west, the Colorado Rockies, another surprising team. They've won 31 games, actually. Actually, yes, 31-19. In Arizona, Tory Lavullo's team. Who's Tory Lavullo? He was the bench coach of the Boston Red Sox up until this year. He's got the Rockies rocking out there. I mean, he's got the Diamondbacks. What do you call the Diamondbacks? He got the Diamondbacks slithering out there. And the Dodgers, the Giants, and San Diego fall. The Dodgers are fairly close. San Diego and San Francisco are way, 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 way back. And that's not unusual. 431 is the WMFO Brown Perspective on Sports. Time with Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in some sports conversation. We're halfway through the program. Still not too late. Our phone number, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game. Far the world of sports is concerned, love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. 1-855-915-9636. Let's go to the WNBA. Now, I'm looking for their standings, and I don't have their standings either. I'm going to fire my staff. I mean, come on. I have no Orioles score. I don't know whether the game got postponed. I don't know what happened. Maybe we just omitted it. And now I do have WNBA scores. Two scores in the WNBA. The Dream, 75, and the Sparks, 73. And the Mercury, 107, and the Wings, 65. A 42-point loss. Sound a little bit like the Celtics. Hey, I got my Celtics sweatshirt on, so I'm not knocking the Celtics. I'm a Celtic fan going way back to the Russell Cousy, even maybe slightly before the Russell Cousy era got started. But anyway, yeah, that's why when everybody talks about all the conversation recently about is LeBron catching Michael, I'm saying, hey, is LeBron ever going to are LeBron and Michael together ever going to catch Bill Russell? Ta-da! Who, in my estimation, is the greatest basketball player in the history of the game. 11 rings, 2 NCAA titles, and an Olympic gold medal when the Olympics were being played by amateurs out of high school, college, rather. So, there. Come on, guys. Get on board with that one. Michael has 6 championships. He might have won 2 more if he hadn't gone baseball. And, you know, LeBron is definitely a force. He would have been a force in any era of the NBA. But I'm saying in the era that he's playing in, he's still behind Michael as far as I'm concerned because of the titles. Michael has 6. He has 3. And 2 of those, you know, is because he picked his team. It's just like if somebody, I guess I was talking with somebody, I said, well, yeah, well, hey, how many titles would Bird and Magic have had? They decided, hey, I'm going to play with the Celtics, and I'm going to bring Worthy and Jabbar with me. Or Larry say, hey, I'm going out to L.A., I'm bringing Kevin and Parrish with me. Yeah, come on. Hey, it's within the rules. You can do that. I'm just saying that, in my estimation, that tarnishes your championship. It's like Durant going to Golden State. You know, okay, he wants a title. Okay, but Golden State's already awesome. Go up and beat somebody who's awesome. Join somebody else, like the Celtics, and beat up on the Cavaliers and the Golden Staters. Right now, it's a 2-team league, and I'm interested in seeing how this playoff goes. Right now, I'm picking the Warriors over the Cavaliers. And don't ask me, well, I'll tell you why. Because the Warriors had the Cavaliers down 3-1 in last year, shooting for their second championship. And LeBron went all crazy on us here and won 3 games in a row. The fact that the Cavaliers just beat up on the Boston Celtics were just saying that, hey, this is a two-team league right now. And that's the way it's going to be for quite some while. Because there's nobody in the NBA right now, in the NBA East right now, who's going to be able to handle the Cavaliers. And I don't know, maybe the Spurs might be up there somewhere. There's a lot of talk about Chris Paul going to the Spurs. That would certainly put them closer to Golden State. I don't know if that would put them ahead of Golden State or even equal with Golden State or even equal with the Cavaliers. But, you know, right now it's a 2-team league. And the Spurs, you know, maybe in if you're talking about 1 and 1A, you know, 1, 2, and 3, you gotta say maybe the Spurs are number 3 team, but they are getting old and long in the tooth, and if they don't, they were no match at all for Golden State, and they would have had the same problem, especially with the injury to Kawhi Leonard, that the Celtics had with the Cavaliers if they were playing in the East. They're not that much better than the Celtics right now at this point in time. So, where are we going from here? Okay, yeah, let's stay on NBA basketball since we don't have a whole lot of other stuff to talk about. Where are they? Where is it? I know it's in my file somewhere. What is wrong with me this morning? I pulled out a list of the NBA 2017 free agents, and I don't see Gordon Hayward's name on there anywhere. Now, maybe my list is not complete, but I just did a quick look at it this morning. I got to go over it more fully, and I'll probably have an updated report for you next week. Everybody's talking about Gordon Hayward being a free agent and possibly coming to Boston to play with his former coach. I don't think that's a guaranteed situation, but it's a possibility. Yeah, I don't see Gordon Hayward's name on here anywhere. Okay, so he would give us outside shooting from the small forward spot that we don't get, that we haven't been getting from anybody else on the present Celtics team. And again, near the end of the year, in the playoffs rather, we know that Jay Crowder was playing with a groin injury. Like last year, he was playing with the high ankle sprain. And we give him kudos for that. It doesn't help us much as a team, however, when key players like Isaiah Thomas go down and you're playing a juggernaut like the champion Cleveland Cavaliers. I haven't got all the details yet, but I would say let's mull over a trade with the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, the question is, the Lakers are pretty comfortable probably in second place. They figure, okay, the Celtics are going to go for Markel Fultz, and that will leave us with Alonzo Ball. But yeah, maybe the Celtics might say, hey, we're thinking about Ball even though he's not working out for us. And we'll trade you the first pick for your second pick and Brandon Ingram. I like Brandon Ingram. This is his second year in the league. When he's 6'9 from Kentucky. Small four, he's playing that. No, I'm sorry. Julius Randle. Brandon Ingram, they got last year. Julius Randle. Power forward, 6'9. 13.2 points a game last year. 72% from the free throw line and 8.6 rebounds. He rebounded better than anybody on the Celtics team last year. Without even looking at the stats. And his 13.2 is certainly better than anybody coming off the Celtics bench. And what happens? Like I said, I would propose this possible trade because I don't know the difference between Fultz and Ball. Which one is the better? Is there that much difference? They're both about 6'4", 6'5". They both pass the ball really well. Fultz is supposedly a little better shooter and perhaps a little better defender. Ball can score. He has a little awkward outside shot, but it goes in. Maybe a problem in the NBA. Because I think from what I've seen, he starts his shot from so low down near his chest and like off to the side kind of thing. It might be easy to block, like a Michael Smith, not the ESPN Sports Center guy, another Michael Smith, who the Celtics drafted several years ago. Probably the worst draft pick that Red Auerbach ever made. Because Michael Smith, great, I don't know where he played in college, but a great college scorer. But in the NBA, he was so slow getting his shot off. And he wasn't very good at putting the ball on the floor. So that the defense just played him up in his chest. Couldn't get his shot off. In a year or two, he's out of the league. Like I said, hey, Auerbach can't hit them all. But that was a strikeout there. But what happens then? Then we get the situation. Is are the Lakers really that fond of Ball that they would rather take him over Fultz? So we trade our first pick to the Lakers. And then they have the decision of whether they're going to go for Ball or whether they're going to go for Fultz. And we're going to get a player who is either Fultz, who they don't want, or Ball, who they might want and who isn't that much, you know, below Fultz as far as a player is concerned. And we get Randall, who's a 6'9 rebounder, in the mix. And maybe we'd have to trade somebody else to make the thing work. Amir Johnson is a free agent, so that wouldn't be a trade possibility. Would it? Maybe. If they can trade them and sign them, maybe that's somebody. I'm throwing it out with that out there. I'm not saying that's, you know, something that we should, you know, carve in stone. But that's just a possibility that I would consider. Okay. Hey, 443 here on WMFO in Medford. 91.5 on your FM dial, on the internet, www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, this Sunday, May the 28th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sport, talking sports virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, just have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,000 and one. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
And the message brought to you by friends here at WMFL, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and the Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:50 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. Time on your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the sports conversation. You have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Okay, still staying with the NBA and the potential draft. Excuse me. Sports Weekly came up with their mock draft. They have Markelle Fultz going to Washington, saying he has every skill NBA teams are looking for in a point guard, including the ability to play off the ball as needed. The biggest worry is about his motor, but it's difficult to purse that if that was the result of a focusing issue or playing for a mediocre college team. Lonzo Ball, the Lakers pairing, has seemed preordained for months, even as the Lakers might be better off going elsewhere. Still, it's hard to deny the offensive potential of a backcourt of Ball and D'Angelo Russell. Philadelphia 76ers point guard De'Aaron Fox of Kentucky. The 76ers need a new backcourt and would love to land Fultz. But 6'3", 170-pound Fox is a freakish athlete who played smart in a system that has been incredibly successful with point guards. Number four, the Phoenix Suns, Josh Jackson of Kansas. The Suns are in a tricky spot in their rebuilding, but Devin Booker and whomever they draft seem to be the centerpieces. Jackson is a potential ace defender whose passing is underrated and who won't take the ball out of Booker's hands. Sacramento Kings in fifth position, Jason Tatum of Duke. Tatum has the upside to go as high as number two, as he's the most polished scorer in this class. His perimeter skills often place him as a small forward, but he should fit comfortably in the mold of a modern stretch power forward with a little added bulk. Number six, the Orlando Magic point guard Dennis Smith of North Carolina State. Smith fits the mold of a modern NBA point guard a bit more easily than Ball, Fox, Malik Monk, or Frank Ntilikina. He's 6'3 and explosive with great vision and scoring ability. Number seven, the Minnesota Timberwolves forward Jonathan Isaac of Florida State. No player in this class has much defensive potential. That plus his positional versatility makes him a nice fit with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. The New York Knicks at number eight, guard Malik Monk of Kentucky. If Phil Jackson wants to remain committed to the triangle offense, then Mark makes sense. He's a natural scorer with dynamic athleticism who could play on or off the ball in a triangle setting. He's also one of the least efficient players being discussed in this range. Least efficient because he's had games where he just disappeared. played games where his shooting was not as it was, and therefore the rest of his game didn't help you much out either. Number nine, Dallas Mavericks power forward Lauri Markkanen of Arizona. The latest 7-foot European with a jumper to be labeled the next Dirk Nowitzki. The Finland native actually plays like the Mavericks legend. His ability to slide into the Dallas lineup as Nowitzki prepares to retire would be difficult to pass up. Number 10, the Sacramento Kings via the New Orleans Pelicans. Point guard Frank Ntilikina of France, yeah. He's 6'5", gives him defensive versatility, and an emerging jumper could allow him to eventually become a shooting guard. Number 11, Charlotte Hornets shooting guard Luke Kennard of Duke. Other than all-star point guard Kemba Walker and 31-year-old Marco Bellinelli, the Hornets regressed big time on three-pointers last season. Kennard should be able to play as a rookie. Number 12, Detroit Pistons guard Donovan Mitchell of Louisville, with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's restricted free agency and Reggie Jackson's health situation, the Pistons know they need a guard. Mitchell is a tenacious competitor at either guard spot who has worked hard to improve his shooting and playmaking. Number 13, the Denver Nuggets center Zach Collins of Gonzaga. Now, Collins is interesting to me because he was not the starting center in Gonzaga. And the starting center, I don't believe, came out. I think he's still there. Zach Collins of Gonzaga took over the NCAA tournament with block shots and rebounds, and his efficiency statistics are eye-popping. There's little doubt he can be a rim protector at the next level. He could be even more. Well, we won't go any further than that. I like what I saw from Collins, and whether the Celtics would gamble at the number one spot or trade down or whatever, I don't know. But anyway, and we, like I said, we're just talking about the Celtics. We have Anti-Zizek, I call him from A to Z, coming over. He's 6'11", 7 feet. He's only 21 years old. But he played with the big guys over there in Turkey, in the top league in Turkey. Came off the bench, but played admirably. Seems like he has an outside shot, puts the ball on the floor, and plays with an attitude. So he could be our rim protector. So we get Fultz, we get Zizek. We also have some other players. And we have some free agency things that we have to deal with as far as the roster is concerned. So maybe next week I'll have a better shot at what we should do, including this possible trade that I mentioned. And we'll see where we go from there. Okay, 4:56 here on WMFO in Metro 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, May the 28th, 2017 edition. I didn't say 2016. 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to call me next week, because we're getting ready to switch over to Sounds of Praise. Sounds of Praise is coming up. We're bringing you our Memorial Day special. Great voices of gospel music from the past. We're going to have a lot of the people who were no longer with us but left us such tremendous music that we're going to have to play as much of it as we possibly can. You are going to be blessed. So stay tuned for that coming up right here at 5 a.m. on WMFO. And you don't have to do anything. Don't touch that dial. Just leave it right where it is. Great gospel music on Sounds of Praise is coming your way. I promise you that. Okay, didn't mention National Hockey League. They are in the finals as well, I believe, tonight. Nashville takes on the Penguins. Nashville has been a surprise because they didn't finish that high during the regular season, but they have been a terror during the playoffs, and they're going against the Penguins, who had the third best record, I believe, in the National Hockey League last year. And so therefore, since the Penguins have been there and they've done that, and I guess they're the closest thing to a dynasty right now in the National Hockey League, I'm taking the Penguins to win that series. Don't ask me how many games. I don't know. To be truthful, I've never seen the Nashville Predators play, and so therefore, what do I know? Haven't seen much of the Penguins either, but I have seen more of them. And I did see the fact that the Bruins played the Senators and gave them all that they could handle. And with the injuries and whatnot, they had a credible season and a playoff run. And the Senators gave the Penguins all that they could handle. And so, therefore, the Bruins don't, if you use that logic, the Bruins can't be that far away from becoming a much better team next year with the younger players coming up. Okay, stay tuned for Sounds of Praise coming your way very shortly. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, saying God bless. Have a fantastic Memorial Day holiday and drive carefully. We don't want to lose anybody.